This episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, 5-star reviews on Apple and Stitcher, shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases all make this show possible week in and week out. We thank you very much for that, homies. This episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Welcome to the Inner Hoa Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, the other Sam on this episode, whose pronouns are she and her, who's double-cheeked up, double-masked up, lives in New York City, all that kind of good stuff.
And Akua, who did not think about an intro to this episode, but y'all know me, resident black mental health, demisexual, parent hoe, all that. I'm here.
Good things, good things. Every episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dives on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking all about living with a hormonal condition that affects 7 to 10% of people who menstruate. That is polycystic ovarian syndrome. We're answering questions like what it is, how do you know you might have it, how societal oppression interacts with some of the conditions, symptoms, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoa Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoa Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoa Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoa Uprising Community. That is C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. And you can head over to innerhoauprising.com to pay a hoe.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop or vaccinated in-person workshop, we would love to do those things. So to book us, you can send us a line at ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let us get into our first and only segment of today. Okay, and we're getting into our segment of the day, and the segment is called Fuck It, and today we're talking all about polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, with someone who lives with the condition.
PCOS, for those who don't know, is a complex hormonal, metabolic, and reproductive disorder that affects people who menstruate. Folks with PCOS produce higher than typical amounts of hormones like testosterone, causing a hormonal imbalance. This hormone imbalance causes them to have fewer menstrual periods and makes it harder for them to get pregnant. PCOS is a leading cause of infertility in reproducing folks and can lead to serious physical and mental health consequences, including increased risk of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, increased reproductive cancers like endometrial, ovarian, and breast cancers, and mental health complications such as symptoms of anxiety, depression, and suicide attempts.
There is a hell of a lot that goes into PCOS, as you might have gathered from that description that Akua just gave. And there is a larger conversation to be had about hormonal balances and how they're interpreted in very gendered and binary ways in science and endocrinology. We, however, are not endocrinologists, and we will not be having that larger conversation today. But instead, we'll be speaking about the lived experience of someone with PCOS. So who are we speaking to, Akua?
So today's guest is Sam T, pronouns she and her. And Sam is a 28-year-old cisgendered heterosexual black woman who received a diagnosis of PCOS at the start of the pandemic, the start of the panic at the disco in January 2020. Since then, she has juggled health and life, taking it one day at a time and prioritizing proactive action to live and have a healthier lifestyle.
Welcome, Sam.
Hi.
First of all, it's a breath of fresh air to have another Sam on the show. I've been with these motherfuckers like Akua and Rob and Rebecca. This should be the Sam show.
Right? This narcissistic ass Sam just wants to surround herself with all the Sams that she... Should I name my next child Sam?
Yes. For, if Dave want to change his name or have a middle name, Sam. But enough about our crap.
So let's jump right into it, Sam. And we want to start a bit with your story pre-diagnoses. What were some of the symptoms that you were experiencing that you probably then later were able to connect to PCOS? What was your lived experience before the diagnosis?
One of the main things was I was growing hair on my face, on my chin. And every time I would get my face waxed, it was a lot of hair on the wax strip, but I didn't understand what was going on. And I'm thinking because, you know, you already, you know, grow hair on your face, but not that much. And then my next thing was my period. Like, I wasn't getting my period at all. Like, it was one time I didn't get my period for 9 months. And I thought I was pregnant. And the only time... That's
what a troll, like the exact amount of time, like damn, a baby should pop out soon,
right? And I wasn't getting my period for 9 months, so I kind of knew that something was going on, and I went on Google, and doctors always tell you don't ever go on Google, but something in my heart told me to go on Google to see what was going on. And I typed in all of the symptoms and PCOS came up. But I didn't want to diagnose myself with that until I went to my doctor to see what it was. Mm-hmm. And that's when that, you know, I went to the doctor and I did my blood work. And she called me 2 weeks later and she told me that I was diagnosed with PCOS.
During that time that you weren't getting your period for 9 months, were you taking pregnancy tests that were negative, or you were just like, there's going to be a baby one day. I'm going to wait for it.
No, I was taking pregnancy tests and it was coming out negative. So I'm like, the pregnancy tests are coming out negative and I don't understand why I'm not getting my period. And not for nothing, this was going on for quite some time. Because when I was in high school, my period came every 28 days like clockwork. Like, I never missed a beat. And then when I got into my early 20s, that's when my period started coming every 3 months. So I'm like, okay, this is just regular, whatever. Then I got later into my 20s and I was gaining more weight. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? So I feel like I was going through it for a very long time. I just did not know what the name of it was or what the cause of me not having my period was going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have like a regular gynecologist at the time?
At the time, no. I didn't start having a regular gynecologist up until recent, actually.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. That's kind of just like a, here's an interesting moment to talk about. We all went to the same high school. Hey.
Yay! Oh, yes.
But it's interesting, like, things like that never came up in, like, health class. Like, if your period is irregular, quote unquote, in this way, this could be symptoms of something else larger that's happening to you and stuff like that.
And it's just, I don't know. To me, it's all fun and games when you don't have your period, because I would go on vacations with my boyfriend and I'm like, yes, I'm not having my period. I'm about to fuck crazy. Like, you know, I'm about to get it on. And you get older and you want to start having children and you're like, hold on now. What the fuck is going on? And that's what was going on with me. And I'm like, no, I want to have a baby. And, you know. It's just a lot.
That kind of brings us to a question that we had a little bit later on. But like, when you were noticing these kinds of things, like your period not coming for the 9 months, how was it like with your partner? Like, what kinds of conversations were y'all having? Or did you even let them know what was going on?
I did. One thing about him, he's with the shits. So whether or not if I was pregnant, whether or not if my period wasn't coming for a long time, he was either going to continue fucking me, knowing that I wasn't going to get pregnant, or we were just going to raise a baby together. So either way, it really wasn't anything for him. But I can say having PCOS did bring down my sex drive.
Mm.
Like, it's times I don't feel like having sex. And I'm not even, like, it can be bad.
When did you start realizing that?
When I was 27, I started to become really uncomfortable with my body. That was one of the reasons why I feel like I had PCOS, because that's one of the symptoms, is it's hard for you to lose weight.
So you've talked about some of these symptoms, the excessive hair growth, the weight gain. Did you face any like gendered commentary, you know, based on these symptoms? Were you And I'll give an example. Like if I was gaining extra weight or, you know, having abnormal hair growth, my African mama would have something to say about it. Like it would just be a passing comment from family, not friends. My friends are cool. Probably even strangers. Were you experiencing any of that?
Not so much for the hair growth thing. The hair growth is, I noticed it. So because I noticed it, I would get rid of it right away. But for the weight gain part, yeah, I was dealing with that a lot. It was to the point where I didn't even want to post anything on social media because I really hated how I was looking. And it got so bad to the point where I couldn't even get out of my car. Mm-hmm. I was breathing really hard getting out of my car. And every time someone would see me, they would be like, oh, hey, Sam. Oh, you gained so much weight. What's going on? You were much skinnier than that. And I'm like, is that how you greet somebody? Mm-hmm. And I was very self-conscious of my weight. I was very self-conscious of how I looked. Because with PCOS also, you can get random breakouts. And I would get these really painful cystic pimples on my face that won't pop. And it's to deal with certain people, it's like very disheartening because I didn't know at the time what I was going through. They don't know what I'm going through. So they feel like they have to say something about my weight or they have to say something about the hairs growing on my face, you know? It got to the point where every time I was with my partner, he would see me and I didn't even want him touching my face. Because he has a big, his not to get into love languages, but his love language is physical touch. So he loves touching me. And one of the places he loves to touch is my face. And I would be like, no, don't touch my face. I was very self-conscious about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And how did you respond to those kinds of things? Like people you don't even like, I ain't seen you in 2 years. Like, why are you commenting about this on me and all this kind of stuff? Like what was going through your head? What were you saying back?
Like, shut the fuck up. Like you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's wrong with me. You don't know like what I'm going through physically or mentally, if you'd even say that. I could have been on freaking depression pills and you sitting here talking about, you know, I'm putting on weight. You don't know why I'm going through that. You don't know why I gained so much weight. So in my head, it would be like, shut the fuck up. But to them, I'd be like, oh, you know, I know. You know, you got to play it off and whatever.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, shut the fuck up, rightfully so. I would not be mad at you if you were telling niggas to shut the fuck up. Yeah, I think it just, like, gets at this societal thing where it's, like, being bigger or fat is coded as a bad thing. And so tons of things start running in people's mind when they see that you've gained weight. It's like, oh, you're lazy or you're not, quote unquote, taking care of yourself or something like that. But it's like, even if that is the case, leave me the fuck alone because it's my life and I can look any way that I want to look.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's hard being in the life of PCOS, I'm telling you. My best friend, she also suffers through PCOS. So we're in this together. Mm. And my best friend, she's not big. She's very skinny. And she deals with PCOS as well. And we're literally going through the trenches together because I thought I was by myself. But she's doing it. She's doing it with me. You know? Yeah,
I mean, what did we say earlier at the top of the episode? 10% of people who menstruate? So that's like 1 in 10 people. So like, mad people just have PCOS.
Right.
When did she get diagnosed?
She told me she got diagnosed when she was 23. So she got diagnosed way before I got diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And when I was telling her my symptoms, she was like, you probably have PCOS. But I'm like, I don't think so. But then when I went to the doctor, confirmed it, I had PCOS.
So tell us about that process when you finally went to the doctor. Like, what kind of tests did they do and how did the doctor kind of, like, I guess, break the news to you and all that kind of stuff? Like, what kind of conversations did you have?
So when I went to the doctor the first time, I told her the only way my period comes like clockwork is when I'm on birth control. And I did not want to be on birth control pills anymore. So I'm like, every time I go on birth control, my period comes like clockwork. But when I come off of it, my period doesn't come at all. Like, once I'm off birth control, my period does not come at all. So I told my doctor, I'm like, I don't know what's going on with me, but I want to know, I want to take tests or whatever. And this was I just went to my regular doctor's appointment. Funny enough, not to backtrack, the first time I went to the doctor and I told my old doctor this, she kind of like threw birth control at me and said, just take birth control and you'll be fine. But see, this is when I didn't have the education for myself. Mm-hmm. you know? So I went to her, she gave me birth control, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm good. And then years later, I'm on birth control, my period comes like clockwork. When I'm off birth control, my period does not come. And I told my new doctor this, and she was like, you know what, we're gonna have to do some blood work, run some tests and see what's going on. I already hate blood work. And the fact that they had to take 7 tubes of blood out of me for this one particular diagnosis was killing me softly.
How much blood you need? Damn. Okay.
It was already killing me softly. So I'm like, what the fuck? But I finally got the blood work done. And that's when she called me and she said to me, she was like, your cholesterol's a little high, you know, going through all that stuff, whatever. And then she said, and you have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I'm like, oh, okay. I kind of knew that already. But it's numbing. Like, for some people, that's not a real diagnosis. And to me, I feel like that's a real big diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Because you deal with a lot of shit internally and you deal with shit externally. So it's not like it's just something that, yeah, you get it and whatever. No, you deal with, some women deal with anxiety and depression. Some women deal with anxiety and depression. At the time when I got diagnosed with it, me and my partner were not on the best of terms. So as I'm calling him, telling him, letting him know what I'm going through, he kind of threw a blind eye to it. And I was dealing with this shit by myself after I was diagnosed with it, you know? So that's what happened. And I think the pandemic was the best thing that could have ever happened, because that's when I started to take my health serious. Mm-hmm. Because I did not want to be a statistic, and I did not want to, you know, be out here not, you know, working on myself, trying to get myself right to be a better health and live a better, healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. How did hearing the diagnosis make you feel? It sounds like it confirmed the suspicions that you had. But any other feelings that came up with it? Any self-blame? What was running through your head as it was confirmed?
Once it was confirmed, I was kind of numb to it, like I said, but then as time went on and I'm seeing everyone getting pregnant and having kids, that's when it really hit me, like, yo, it's really going to be hard for me to have a kid. My mom didn't have PCOS. My grandmother didn't have PCOS. My aunt, my cousin, and these are like my bloodline. Like, they did not have PCOS. And here I come with PCOS. And I'm like, damn, did it skip a generation? And it just bounced to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was really, it hurt me, because it's like, I see women who are fertile myrtle just popping out kids like nobody's business. And here I am yearning for that. And it's just hard for me. So that's when it dawned on me. And I think the older you get, like when you're in your early 20s or your late teens and you're diagnosed with it, it really doesn't bother you that much, because that's not your concern. But the older you get, at least I'm not saying that for all women, but at least for me, I didn't care about that shit. Like my period, like I said, my period wasn't coming. I'm going on vacation. I'm fucking like crazy. It doesn't even matter at this point. Like, yo, I'm about to get it on. But when you get older and you're ready to have children, that's when it becomes a big problem, because you want to have children. You want to bear your child and you want to conceive your child naturally. And it's harder for you.
Yeah.
Like you need extra help for it.
Yeah, for sure. I have a question about you said it was two different gynecologists, right?
Yeah.
And the one, so can you tell us a little bit about the one who was pushing birth control? Like, was this a man, a woman?
They're both women. And not for nothing, the lady who I go to now, my OBGYN, she's still pushing birth control on me. And I'm like, if I've told you I want to have children, why are you pushing birth control on me?
It's the opposite of what I need, girl.
Like... like, why? But yeah, they were both women. Both women. And to me, I'm not like trying to say, like, you know, you should go to a certain race or whatever like that. To me, I feel like it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Mm-hmm. Whatever doctor you are, doctors are going to push birth control on you, and it doesn't matter your race. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. Because I've been to a African-American doctor and they've pushed birth control on me. I've been to a Caucasian doctor and they've pushed birth control on me. So it doesn't matter what race you are. Yeah. So it's like, you really can't pull the race card with that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there's a just kind of a tendency in the medical industry, unfortunately, because it is a subset of like just industries and making money, is to do the quickest easiest thing mm-hmm. possible. And like, instead of being like, oh, this person is coming to me and saying their periods are irregular, let me do some tests. They were mm-hmm. just like, nope, get her on birth control, get out of my office, next patient. And it's very mm-hmm. dehumanizing.
And honestly, the first doctor that I did go to, we did do blood work, but she never told me I had PCOS. She only told me I had cysts on my ovaries when she did the sonogram.
Not a misdiagnosis.
Mm-hmm. She never told me I had PCOS. She just told me that I had cysts on my ovaries from the sonogram. Mm-hmm. Yep. So then when I went to this doctor and I spoke to her, she did the sonogram. She did the blood work. She did the urine sample. She did everything to try to see what's going on with me. Because I was like, that was my biggest concern, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And before you went to her, having already had that experience with the other doctor and, you know, your friend and all that kind of stuff, I think you got at this a little bit earlier when you were like, you went on WebMD or whatever and you started Googling your symptoms. But can you, like, were you expecting the sonogram and all that stuff? Like, had you done like fully your research and things like before going into this conversation with this new doctor?
For the new doctor, no. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew what was going to happen. Like, she was already going to test my ovaries and she was already gonna do my blood work because I had already went through that with the first doctor, but I just wasn't sure if she was gonna actually tell me what my diagnosis mm-hmm. was because mm-hmm. the other doctor didn't mm-hmm. So I'm walking around like something's wrong with me, having an idea that I have PCOS but not fixing the problem,
right,
you know what I mean? So
yeah. From the three anecdotes I have, I think that that's common when it comes to PCOS, and three anecdotes is not enough to call anything common. So like, fuck what I'm saying. But like, that's interesting that you went to this doctor and the first one didn't say anything to you. And we have like another podcast friend who also has been diagnosed with PCOS. I think she had to go to four different doctors. And now recently, Akua, you think that you have PCOS, but your gynecologist, who you don't like, by the way, who you have beef with, has said that you don't have PCOS, even though, you know, we were talking about this yesterday when we were producing for this episode and you were like, I don't know, it lines up. Like,
I mean, it really lines up on very different occasions. I've had sonogram, like I remember it was back in 2017 where I had an infection in an ovary and they were, you know, which was almost also a misdiagnosis, almost led to my death. But they took a sonogram. She was like, oh, it just looks like you have cysts on your ovaries. They should shrink. And I remember it was an ER doctor and I was like, is that normal? Am I supposed to have cysts on my ovaries? Like, you made it seem like this just happens every month and I just was unaware. Like, they didn't teach it to me in health class. And when I asked that, she really didn't give me much of an answer and then just kind of walked away. So I was like, all right, I have to follow up with my gynecologist, but I also have beef with my gynecologist. So I didn't, you know, not really prioritizing my health. I have a lot of the symptoms in, you know, easier weight gain, skin problems. There was a point in time also in like 2017 where my period didn't come for like 6 months and I just had like this outbreak that just would not go away, and then one day it cleared up. Like, I've been noticing, you know, extra hair growth on my chin and I'm like, is this just age or is that, you know, what is it? So a lot of the symptoms lining up. I went to my doctor, you know, she did a pelvic exam but not a sonogram. She did the blood work and was just like, your hormones are just not syncing up at the right time. But she's a baby pusher. So like, because I'm not trying to have a baby, she was like, you'll be all right then. I was like, okay. I mean, if you say so, doc, but I feel like I need a second opinion.
Yeah, I think you should. They always say that there's three signs of having PCOS: hair growth on your chest or on your face, or even on your back, irregular periods, and I believe it's weight gain. If you have two out of the three, you will have PCOS. That's what they say. I follow so many women that have PCOS, like PCOS nutritionists, so I know what I could put in my body and what I shouldn't be eating, what I should eat. And sometimes it's overwhelming because they make you feel like you can't have anything, like not even as simple as fruit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain fruits you can't have. Like, if it's too sweet, you shouldn't be having it.
So I jumped down that rabbit hole of like, how can I, you know, look at my nutrition, and there was this whole thing about going gluten-free. There's this whole thing about like having certain fruits and carbs because PCOS can make you insulin resistant.
Yes.
So like making sure that you're not, you know, in the same way that diabetics would regulate their diet, you mm-hmm. would now have to as well to make sure that you keep your blood sugar level at a safe, you know, balance at a safe level. It was overwhelming. I was like, all right, I don't got a diagnosis, so I'm just gonna back out of this because this a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't eat nothing, is what y'all say. I can't have an apple. Like, I thought apples were healthy. Like, dang, yep. I can't have oatmeal. I can't eat meat. I can't eat bread. So what am I supposed to eat?
Right.
Air. Like, I gotta eat. Like, you gonna tell me I can't eat? Like, I gotta eat. So what can I eat? It was overwhelming, and I backed out. I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna wait till I get a confirmation before I start making dietary changes. Especially, I wouldn't recommend making dietary changes without a nutritionist or a dietitian, because mm-hmm. you can mess with your own, you know, with your own health, restricting things. I don't like restrictive diets, like, oh, no meats or no carbs. So I didn't want to fall into that that line of that pattern. So I was just like, all right, let me just click this close and, you know, let me go have me an apple.
And the one thing I do hate is I cannot take it when there are so many doctors that you diagnose somebody with PCOS and they treat you and they tell you the same thing as another person that has PCOS. Like I said, they always mm-hmm. treat people with PCOS in the same category. And I think that shit is fucking annoying. Because mm-hmm. not everyone deals with the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. me, I went to the doctor recently. I don't have cysts on my ovaries. I don't mm-hmm. have insulin resistance. You know what I mean? It's different things. And there's different things you have to tackle when you're trying to diet and exercise when you have PCOS. And I feel like people as a unit try to put PCOS in one category and say, well, this is what you need to do. And then that's when people get overwhelmed and they don't give a fuck anymore and they just give up. And that's the thing that I don't want for people to give up when you have PCOS, because it can be gut-wrenching and it's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. That reminds me of just like, I guess, conditions in general. A couple of weeks ago, we did an episode all about bipolar disorder and how that manifests in different ways. And it just seems like there are different shades of PCOS.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like they could even be, I don't know, it's interesting. I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know what I'm talking about right now. But like, just because these things have certain things that loop them together, should they even be one condition? Because it seems more like an umbrella condition to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, yeah. That's what it sounds like. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it sounds like the way that the symptoms show up for people can be, what's the word I'm looking for? The word I'm thinking. The very basic term I'm saying is mismatched in my head, and I can't find another word.
It works, right?
I think what you're saying, Sam, is that the treatment should be aligned with the symptoms that people are presenting, rather than the doctors just being like, all right, birth control and, you know, diet and exercise. Like, mm-hmm. if it's my testosterone is high, is there hormone replacement therapy that can address that? You know, if it's ovarian cysts, is there, you know, medication that can address that? Don't just shoot us all out the door saying right. you need to lose weight and it'll all be fine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially, and that's why like humanity-based healthcare is such an important thing, because it can manifest in infertility or like difficulty in getting pregnant and stuff like that. And so that first doctor who was just pushing birth control on you should have had a greater conversation with you about like what your plans are for the future when it comes to being a reproductive person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was going to be my question. With that first, with both doctors that are pushing birth control, had you expressed that you were interested in reproducing, you were looking to be pregnant and have children? Because if you're on birth control, mm-hmm. the two don't line up.
Like, right.
You can't do both. Yeah.
The first doctor, no, because at the time, I think I was like 22 or 23. So I wasn't really mm-hmm. concerned about having kids. But the second doctor, I expressed to her, I want to have children in the future. And I do not want to be on birth control. Not only because it just doesn't, like, why go on birth control when you're trying to have a kid? Not just that, but birth control, I hate it so much because it makes me have horrible migraines. Mm-hmm. I get the worst migraines on birth control. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. so bad. Like, I have to stay in bed. I have to call out of work. And I that was one of the reasons why I wanted to come off for birth control, aside from the fact that I want to have a kid. But when I spoke to the second doctor, she was like, well, we could put you on metformin and it helps you ovulate. It helps you, it makes you really fertile. And it also helps you get your period every single month. And I was like, okay, let's try it. But the worst part about metformin.
Ooh, I feel like that's a good time to take a break, actually. What's the worst, what's the worst part about metformin? All that after this. Hold your thought, Sam. Is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit? Is it helping you unlearn some old shit? Or is it allowing you to just have a good ass time? If you say it is, we love to hear that. And we would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in our PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising, or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. It's very good. We thank and love you all for your continued support. Now back to the show. What is the worst thing about metformin?
The worst thing about metformin is you get dizzy, you get major diarrhea, as if you took a laxative. It curbs your appetite, and I lost like 10 pounds on it. An extra 10 pounds off of the 20 pounds that I already lost by myself. But your body gets used to it once you take it. I mean, sometimes you might have moments where you feel like you do have to use the bathroom, mm-hmm. but my period comes every month like clockwork. And yeah, and it all depends on what supplements you're taking. Mm-hmm. You have to take a lot of supplements, like zinc, spearmint tea to help your testosterone levels, dandelion root tea to help your insulin resistance, raspberry leaf tea to help your ovaries. Like, I've been doing my research because I'm trying to get this thing as natural as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So was metformin the only form of treatment that your doctor offered? It sounds like a lot of this holistic and more natural route you researched on your own. Did your doctor, you know, tell you about these things as well, or?
No, I did it on my own. My doctor mm-hmm. didn't tell. The only thing she pushed on me was metformin. Mm-hmm. After that, I started doing stuff on my own. Like, there's a supplement called Regulate, mm-hmm. and there's another supplement called Conception that I started taking, and I think that was when, and I started doing CMOS, because at one point I had stopped taking metformin. And I just started working out. I started taking my supplements every day. I started drinking my teas every day, having sea moss every day.
Was it a conversation that you had with your healthcare provider? And she was just like, girl, I don't know about none of that holistic stuff. Or was it even broached? Is this something that you just chose to do on your own?
It was something I chose to do on my own. I did talk to her about the supplement Conception. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, it's not FDA approved, but I heard so many success stories on it. You know, mm-hmm. she wasn't really any help. The only help she gave me was metformin. Mm-hmm. And she said, are you sure you want to take metformin because it's going to make you pregnant? And I'm like, that's the goal here.
It just seems like y'all are not aligned.
Yeah, like
there's like a severe break in communication when it comes to,
like,
this
you're
person.
Saying words and she's like, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. She goes right in between the lines.
That's very, and this is something that we talk about on this show a lot. It's very paternalistic, like, because who cares what I want to do with my body, right? Like, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be telling me to have kids or not to have kids. You're just telling me how to accomplish the things with my body that I want to accomplish. And I mm-hmm. feel like when it comes to healthcare providers, and I do think specifically Black women, maybe not providers of a certain race, but when they are talking to people of a certain race and of a certain like perceived gender and stuff like that, they are trying to like rock the boat in who has kids and who doesn't has kids, mm-hmm. where it's like a cool on the flip side is like, have more babies, and the cool like, I don't want to have kids. Like, maybe you guys should reverse gynecologists. Actually,
because my gynecologist, you say you want to have babies, she gonna get you on the fast track. She is like, we are having a baby in 9 months starting today. Like, you are pregnant the moment you leave this office.
Like, I was gonna say that. I'm like, this is crazy. She keeps pushing. And you know what? One thing about healthcare professionals also, I feel like because they feel you, they're your healthcare professionals, they have control of your body.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm a woman at the end of the day for me, and you're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do in my body.
Yeah.
Because this is my body at the end of the day. And if I want to take something and do things to help my ass get pregnant or conceive naturally, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You're not, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I just want to push it because I even like my, my partner's cousin, she also has PCOS and she just had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Aww.
And she had him naturally. She conceived him naturally, but she too was also on metformin. So it's like metformin kind of jumpstart the ovulation for her and she was able to have her baby naturally, conceived him naturally. So it's like, it's possible. And then she's telling me to go to an endocrinologist. I'm okay. If you just told me that my symptoms are not that bad, why are you telling me to go to an endocrinologist?
Because she don't know what she's talking about, Sam. I think that's why she's trying to make you go to an endocrinologist, to be honest.
I'm like, I don't want to go to an endocrinologist right now. Like, at this moment, I'm not pushing and I'm not rushing to have a kid.
Okay.
But I want to prepare my body for it.
Right. Right, right.
That may be why, not to find excuses for your OBGYN, but it may be why she's like, well, if you're saying you don't want to have kids in the near future, this is why metformin will make you pregnant like tomorrow if you're not careful. My OBGYN, I remember, you know, going to that first appointment and broaching the topic of PCOS, and she's like, all right, let's do the blood work and see, because there's two different ways to treat this, you know. And then she kept asking, are you trying to get pregnant. I'm like, no. And she's like basically telling me, yes I am. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And she's like, yes. Like, we went back and forth to the point where her attendees were looking at us like but she said she don't want to have no kids,
right?
And I think because I, you know, again, she's a baby pusher, because I don't want to have any kids, why she was just like, all right, well, then go off on your merry way with your inconsistent periods. Because I feel like there would have been a more tailored approach if I did want to have, you know, if I wanted to have kids. She would have then sat down like, all right, we need to do A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. But because I'm like, no, I'm not interested, she's like, all right, well, then, you know, it don't look bad. Come back for your pap smear. We'll make sure, you know, nothing's growing, but go about your way. Which I also do not think is a good treatment approach either. Like, there has to be something. There has to be an explanation. There has to be something more than just, you know, your period's not. I want there to be more curiosity with what's happening to me and more concern with what's happening to me. She's like, oh, your thyroid looks good. Like, all of this, I guess we'll never know. Like, no, it should not have to be a mystery. I want this to be a Scooby-Doo mystery where the culprit is caught at the end. Like, I want to unmask what it is in 30 minutes. Like, I shouldn't just be like, all right, well, what does it mean? I wanted there to be more conversation of, like, you know, because your periods are inconsistent, practice better safe sex measures, you know, make sure you are strapping up because pregnancy may happen. I don't even know if pregnancy can happen if I just go out here, start raw dogging people. Like, I mean, I am going to try to practice safer sex practices all the time, but like, I wanted more discussion about that. Like, what happens now than just, oh, okay, well, you're not trying to get pregnant, so bye.
You know, it's really disheartening, especially because you're not trying to have a child right now. And especially because I want to have children. It's very disheartening when you have a doctor trying to push pregnancy on you, and then you have another doctor trying to push birth control on you. You know, it's really disheartening, and it makes you feel like, you know, it's just nothing's working for me. I've even had people who have PCOS and they've gotten pregnant and, you know, they didn't have an issue getting pregnant and they didn't take any birth control. They didn't take any metformin. They didn't do any, all the things that I'm doing, they didn't do it. They just got pregnant. They had probably had a lot of sex, because I know, like, that's another thing. Like, you have to have a lot of sex if you want to, especially with PCOS.
If you're trying to conceive,
you need to be really
sexually active.
Yeah.
To beat the chances. To
right.
Put the probability in your favor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. This is kind of a loaded question, Sam, so feel free to not answer or answer as much as you'd like. But I mean, what is the future like for you after having learned this diagnosis? What are your plans, and where does your partner come to play in those plans and all that kind of stuff? Like, what do things look like down the line?
Well, right now, I'm still trying to prep my body, mm-hmm. working out. Now it's starting to get warm outside, so I'm starting to go out for walks, doing my jump rope, eating different. That's what I'm doing right now. I just want to prep my body mm-hmm. right for right now. And then when it's time, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's on the same wave. But we have such conflicting schedules that it's literally a push and go. I'm coming home from work, he's going to work, or he's not even home. So it's a lot. But
you got to take those vacations again.
Those
sex vacations.
Is there you've talked about, you know, wanting to have children in the future, but you know, it sounds like with PCOS, family planning is going to have to be intentional. Like, you're going to, I think of it when I think it's like more represented in media, like when women are trying to reproduce, they'll have like the ovulation schedule and they have mm-hmm. the ovulation tests, and they're like, we're having sex on Thursday at 4 because I begin ovulating then, and we're having sex each day until, you know, Tuesday at 5 because that's when it stops. It sounds like, you know, family planning will have to be intentional for you. Have you guys had conversations of when you want to start a family so that because of your conflicting schedules, you start to plan around that?
We've had conversations about having children, but it's just the fact of the matter is I am so now I'm all about, I want to have children, I want to conceive, but now I'm so like gung-ho about getting my body right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like me doing an ovulation test and taking ovulation strips and, oh, let's have sex right now at 2 o'clock because I'm ovulating and the egg is dropping right now as we speak. Like, I don't want to have any of those type of things because that's when it becomes discouraging. And that's mm-hmm. when you start to feel like, damn, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then that's when heartbreak starts because then you think, oh, he caught the egg. I'm pregnant. I didn't get my period this month. And then you take a pregnancy test and it comes out negative. And that's the disheartening thing. And that's one of the things. I've always said I wanted to prepare my body to have children, but I never wanted to actually plan it. I just mm-hmm. wanted it to happen mm-hmm. when it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
It does. It does. It's like you want to prepare a nice little fall for when.
Yeah.
The egg.
Yeah. Yes.
Would you say it's your belief that through these holistic treatment, you will increase your chances of conceiving, I don't want to say naturally, but easier, that you'll get to a place where the barriers of PCOS are not as high, that you won't have to engage in such intentional family planning?
I would hope so. I can't say that it's going to be 100% for all women because some things that work for me may not work for her.
Yeah.
Oh, another woman with PCOS. So I would hope that it does. But, you know, if it doesn't, I just got to keep going on up and up. But it's just one thing I will not accept is I'm not going to be the one that's saying it's impossible because it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
so possible. I've seen it happen to so many women. Mm-hmm. And it's possible for you to conceive naturally with PCOS. And what bothers me so much is that doctors will tell you, oh, you have PCOS. And then they say, but you're not going to be able to have kids naturally. That's disheartening. You shouldn't say that. It's never impossible to have a child naturally when you have PCOS because it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It truly is.
And to clarify what we mean by naturally, because this is something that we said a lot in this episode now, do we mean like without something like IVF?
IVF.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or are we talking about like straight up like surrogacy or something like that?
Like naturally as opposed to conceiving without any medical help.
Okay, so just like penis and vagina. We have sex.
Raw shit.
Gotcha. Okay. That's the definition of naturally as used in this episode.
Yes.
Raw dogging.
Yes.
Okay. Got you. And speaking of raw dogging, like my transitions, this is the Sex, Love, and Dating podcast. And so I am, this is something that you kind of talked about earlier, but I kind of want to go back to it now that you have your diagnosis or whatever. Like you said, back when you were 27, you started to notice that your sex drive was kind of decreasing. But then also, like, these PCOS symptoms started to arise and you were feeling, like, uncomfortable with your body and stuff like that. And you and your partner were, like, having a little bit of a rocky period. How did all of that come into play when it comes to your sex drive?
It was a lot. I felt so uncomfortable with how I looked and who I was as a woman. I just hated my body. I'm still trying to get comfortable in it now. And I'm not who I was at 27, but I'm still trying to be comfortable with it. And because we had that rocky period, it kind of gave me more, it happened at a perfect time because it gave me more oomph to work on myself and to start putting my health first. And it was time for me to, you know, lose the weight I needed to lose, be more healthy, watch what I was eating. And I did it in my own way. I didn't get any help. I just did everything in my own way. And that's when I started to realize, like, you know, it's possible to lose weight with PCOS. Don't ever let anyone tell you it's impossible. That's when I started to take action of my PCOS, when we were going through that rocky period, when we were having, you know, times we weren't having sex. That was my time to focus on me, and that was my time to get myself active and acclimated on what I needed to do to get my body right for myself. So, yeah. You know, you gotta love yourself, too.
You do have to love yourself. That is one of the sexiest things about sex. Like, oh, shit, this motherfucker's looking at me. I look this, and that. Which kind of leads me to my next question. You know, like, body positivity is something that we talk about a lot on this show, and, like, loving and affirming different kinds of bodies and stuff like that. And so I totally understand your reasons for wanting to lose weight. You're doing it for medical purposes and to kind of, like, prepare your body for the eventuality when you have kids and stuff like that. But is there some sort of, like, middle ground that you're taking when it comes to affirming yourself in the way that you are? Like, are you following people of a certain kind of body type on Instagram and being like, okay, she's a bad bitch, I could be a bad bitch too? Or is there anything like that going on?
No. The only thing I honestly, I don't look at other women and say, oh, I wish I was like that. It has happened, but as of recent, no. Because I feel like that kind of slows your process down. And that makes you stop where you are because you're looking at someone else on social media and you're looking at what they have and how they look. And I'm like, you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm never going to be Miss Big Booty Judy. Okay. And I'm never going to have a really totally Kim Kardashian flat stomach. But I know that my body type is my body type. And I've learned to be very comfortable with it. And I got to wear things that's going to make me show my invisible hips because I ain't got no damn hips either.
Same. Me neither. Hipless homies up in here.
Yes.
And so let's get a little bit more into that. Like, what does that look like for you? Like, is there just like Sam tea time in the mirror where you're just like, okay, I like this and that? Like, is it your partner affirming the way that you look like now? Like, what does self-love look like for you?
Self-love, that was one of the reasons why I started losing weight and started working out, because I never wanted it to be because he wanted me to. I did it off of my own terms. You know, we've been together since high school, so I never wanted it to be about, I want him to love me and look at me and how I used to look and how skinny I used to be. I never wanted it to be like that. I wanted it to be where it was on my terms. It's because I wanted to do it and I wanted to feel good about myself. That's why, you know, right now I look at myself and I'm like, yo, my skin has really, I've never had problematic skin. But when I have those cystic pimples, I know that whatever I'm doing is working because I don't get them shits no more because them shits hurt. They hurt really, really bad. So I know I'm doing something right. So I look at myself, I'm like, oh my God, my skin is glowing. I look good. I feel good. I'm just so amazed with myself. Like, I'm so happy. Like, there's so many things that I didn't have confidence in myself before that I have confidence in now. And I just love it. You know what I mean? Like, I love how I look. I love that I'm transitioning the way I'm transitioning, because this is my journey. And you do it at your pace. Mm-hmm. You don't look at anyone else's pace. And there's some things with me, as I want to go back to what you said. Mm-hmm. You said, do I look at people on social media and see, and you know, compare my body to theirs? Mm-hmm. I don't do that. But what I do do is I look up to the workouts that they do. I'm like, oh, I could do that too. I just love me, and I did it at my own pace. And it's just, it's a learning experience. You have to learn yourself again. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient with yourself. And you have to believe that it's going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I love this. I cannot wait until it gets hot. I'm hot right now thinking about it. Like, I'm hot.
Yeah, this is definitely an interesting journey to go on. Like, the fact that you learned at January 2021 and then a whole pandemic happened. Like, this is your coming out year, really.
It really is.
When here you are today, your skin really is glowing. If you're not looking on YouTube, Sam's skin is glowing. Nails popping, like, just
always. Ain't nothing changed.
What is Sam's summer 2021 looking like? Like, what plans do you have in store or anything like that? Like, let us know.
Yeah, because it sounds like the hoe in you is defrosting as yeah. we speak. She's like, I'm getting hot right now.
Where
you're waiting on it.
Where is my boyfriend?
Listen,
we're what is done it yet. Like? Get over here.
What is the beam they said? I'm a summer this summer like no other summer. That's the type of shit I'm on. I'm ready to summer this summer like no other. Because last year I couldn't do that because of the freaking whatever. Yeah. But no, now I'm ready to summer this summer, you know. And let me tell you something. I want to have a kid, but in the back of my mind, I'm happy I'm not having no kids right now, because I'm out here drinking like a fucking sailor. I'm out here thugging it up. I'm doing shit that I thought I ain't never seen. Like, I'm out here doing it. You know what I'm saying? And my man, he be out with his friends, you know, drinking. And after he get off work, he be drinking and doing all that other stuff. So I'm like, listen, we out here, we living. We about to drink. We about to get turned. We about to get turned, fool. This summer is about to be turned.
All right. You get me excited. You gotta stop. I'm getting too excited. I gotta go out right now. Like, we're not recording the whole podcast episode.
You know, we just hit pause. We're like, all right, it's 80, yeah. 70 degrees.
I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to go.
Okay.
That's cool. It sounds fun. That sounds fun. Any final words for our listeners, Sam?
I would say any listener that's going through PCOS, take everything a day at a time. Go to your doctor and make sure you fight to get a diagnosis. Because if you don't, they're going to try and push things on you that you're not trying to do. And, you know, I feel like just be patient with yourself. When the doctors tell you diet and exercise, as cliche as it sounds, it actually can help you in the long run. So diet and exercise, take it at your own pace. Take it one day at a time. Take it one step at a time. And things are going to be where you need them to be. So that's my final words.
Good final words. Sounds like sound advice to me. Are you open to anybody following you on social media? And would you like to plug those things?
You can follow me on Instagram. That's all I have. sam.cam.underscore.
Love it. Love it. Cool. Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming and speaking about your experience. I remember I had pitched you to be a guest after you disclosed with me, you know, your health journey. And you didn't have to. So I really appreciate you being open and vulnerable and sharing that with me, and then coming on to share that with our listeners as well.
Yes, because a lot of women, just to say this really quickly, mm-hmm. a lot of women who have PCOS or any other infertility issues or diagnosis, they feel like they're alone. And I don't want them to ever feel like they're alone, because a lot of women go through it. And it's unheard of to a lot of women. So I want women to know that because you're diagnosed with it, you're not alone. I'm here with you too. We going through the same thing. And that's why I don't mind. You want to hit me up, ask me questions, go ahead. I'm here.
10% of the population. That's a lot of motherfuckers.
Okay, and I'm part of that 10%.
That's a lot of
people. All right?
That's a lot of people. Well, that's it for another episode of Inner Hoa Uprising. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you all learned something from Sam. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
Again, if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoa Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoa Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoa Uprising Community, that is CUMMUNITY. You can head to innerhoauprising.com to pay a hoe. And you guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse.
Yes, you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse. And you can follow our guest Sam at sam.cam_, which will be in the show notes for this episode. Have a great week, because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye. Bye.